Come on, Mark.
Come on, Mark.
What's up, campus? How we doing? How we feeling? I want to hear some noise if you had a blast at the spring retreat. Guys, it was an incredible time, was it not? I mean, the amount of conversations I was able to have, connections I was able to make. I just came home and I had to look over all my notes and just think about what is it going to look like to put this on to practice. So I hope you guys are already implementing things that you've learned and just really making a game plan. And if you haven't done that yet, if you haven't sat down and looked over your notes and thought, how can I live this out? I really want to encourage you guys to do that. To really put this into practice. But tonight, it's good to be back together. Feels like it's been a minute since the men and women have been in the same room. So it's great to be together. So tonight, we're going to be talking about being discipled and the gift of discipling relationships.
All right? Come on.
So we're going to be diving into that. We're going to be talking about the one another way. The one another way, being discipled. So this is a super important part of being a Christian, is effective discipling relationships. But what we're going to specifically focus on tonight is being discipled, or receiving training, receiving discipling, getting help on being more like Jesus, and really break that down. But before we jump in more, let's pray together. Amen?
Amen.
Father, thank you for bringing us here tonight, God. We are just so grateful to be in your presence right now. That we're just Holy Spirit-filled disciples, that we just want to know you better, God. We just want to be more like you, Jesus. And we want to help each other to be more like you. And I pray that tonight will just be a really ministry-moving forward night, God, that we can really move forward as the New Jersey Campus Ministry, especially with talking about something so close to your heart, God, so obvious in Scripture that we need to be involved in each other's lives and to help each other to be more like Jesus. God, just please get me out of the way tonight. Speak to us, God. We just want to hear what you want us to hear tonight, God. Help us to be humble, help us to be attentive, and help us to really make the most of tonight, God. We love you. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look there in a second. But I just wanted to start out the night by really just encouraging you guys here in this room. And that I'm just so grateful to be a part of this family right here. I just love you guys so much. You guys are my family. And I kind of had a moment this past weekend as we were at Ministry Mayhem together and you guys were trying to figure out your chant. I was kind of standing back and just looking around and thinking about all of our stories. And each of your individual stories, and just how crazy it is that we all even know each other. You know, and I was just thinking about how much Jesus has brought this family together right here. And I just felt, and I still feel it, but in that moment, I was like, I'm just so blessed. And I got the best friends in the world. You know, you guys, we're really family. And Jesus is that glue. And I'm just amazed by what God has done in our family. Aren't you guys amazed by what God's done? And our family, and what he's doing right now. And so I just want to let you guys know, I'm just grateful for you guys. I love you guys a lot. And I really cherish this time together. I cherish these friendships and relationships. And for me, before becoming a Christian, being a super introverted teenager, I never thought I'd have this many friends, to put it that simply. And so I just feel so grateful to have these relationships, and I hope you guys feel that too, that you feel like, wow, like God has really blessed my life, and I hope by the end of tonight, we just walk out of here on cloud nine just so grateful, amen. But here's the thing, this family would not be here or exist if it was not for discipling relationships. We're not here tonight. If we're not focused, if we're not involved in each other's lives, there's no such thing as midweek with New Jersey Campus Ministry. If we didn't follow Jesus' example of discipling relationships that call us higher, if we didn't invest in one another spiritually, the ministry is not the way it is right now. It's that simple. And odds are, if we didn't go after discipling, someone would have never met you and helped you to become a Christian. Yeah.
If someone wasn't in there helping that disciple say, how's it going? Reaching out to people. And so discipling is why you're here tonight. This has everything to do with you guys. Everything to do with your story. And so we just got to kind of start tonight that way, that this has everything to do with you and your story. And guys, this family is amazing. I'm grateful for each and every one of you, but don't you want to see this family grow?
Yes.
Don't you want to see this family grow?
Yes.
Don't you want to see more and more people here each week, more new faces? Don't you want to grow together? Well, if you guys want to grow, you got to humbly go after receiving discipling. If we're going to grow as a campus ministry, it's not going to happen if you're not being humble and if you're not going after getting help to be more like Jesus. So here's the question. What is discipling? You know, this term might be kind of new to you of what is that, right? We know that we're trying to be followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, but what is discipling? So let's talk about that. We see in the Gospels that Jesus took 12 ordinary men and made them into the most influential world changers of all time,
yeah.
Right? Jesus invested in these men deeply. He was an incredible friend and mentor. You know, in Mark 1, he says, I'll make you fishers of men. I'll make you into something great. How did he do that, though? By investing in them, by challenging their standards constantly. So, guys, we see Jesus build these deep friendships with the men and women following him. And he calls them to live godly lives and to follow him to the T.
Right.
Nothing less. Jesus calls his followers to a whole new way of living. He calls them to repent, to be humble, to be servants. And in short, he calls them to do exactly what he's doing.
Wow.
And he teaches them why they should be doing that. And so literally for these disciples that we read about, it was literally following him, right? You know, in Judaism, you were said that you were a good follower of your rabbi if the dirt from their sandals was getting on kind of your clothing. You were so closely following them that their kind of tread from their feet as they were walking was on you. And so these disciples were literally following him, imitating him, letting Jesus speak truth into them. And so that's discipling, is I want to be like Jesus. Amen? Jesus discipled his disciples every day. He trained them, he loved them, and he helped them to do their absolute best at life. That was Jesus' goal. And so we see this phrase throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, this phrase, one another.
Yeah.
One another. The one another way. That's the title of our message tonight. And so Jesus, all throughout the Gospels, he's calling them to love one another, to encourage one another, to be patient with one another, to bear with one another. And the list goes on. I mean, this is just a start right here. So it's even cut off. I didn't have room on the screen. But so positive commands, look at all that. Love one another, be devoted to one another, honor one another. It goes on. That, you guys see how much this saturates Scripture? So if we're not doing that, are we really following Jesus? No. But he also has things that you shouldn't do to one another. Right? Negative things. He says, look, stop passing judgment on one another. Right? Do not lie to one another. But that's this phrase we keep on seeing over and over again. So one another is, it's two words in English, but it's only one word in Greek. It's this word allelon. And it means basically this mutually, like reciprocally investment in one another. That you think about that word relation. In my relation to Rob, I'm trying to be the best friend I can be in relation to my friendship with him. And Rob is reciprocating that by doing the same thing for me. That's really the heart of that one word in the Greek, allelon, is we're together. And it's a mutual training. It's a mutual investment. That word in the Greek is used 100 times in 94 New Testament verses. That's a lot. And then 47 of those verses give instructions to disciples, to us as disciples. And so, guys, this saturates Scripture. So the fact is that we need to be involved in each other's lives. Jesus wants us to be involved in each other's lives. And in short, the Bible is calling us to mutually help each other
be more like Jesus. Right. That's discipling. So the purpose of discipling, what is it? To become more like Jesus. Not to become a little better version of yourself, but to become more like Jesus. That's the goal of discipling, nothing less. So here's the deal, guys. We can't become more like Jesus without great one another relationships in our lives. It's not going to happen. And if you're trying to do that in your life right now, you're not where Jesus wants you to be. You're not where God wants you to be. You need people in your life. You guys should be in Ephesians. Check out verse 22. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. This scripture's got a lot packed in it. So let's check this out. Paul says to these disciples in Ephesus, he says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body." Amen? Amen. That's a challenging scripture.
Yeah.
I read that today. It challenged me. I was thinking, how's that going for me? But Paul, he's writing here to the disciples in Ephesus, and he's saying, look, you were taught to put off your old sinful self, that way you used to live life before following Jesus. He said, put that off and put on the new self. The new self, the new creation. And he says this really awesome phrase. He says, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. He's saying your attitude should change now of how you let people into your life. That it's not just we become Christians, that we repent and get baptized, and we say, yes, I'm good, I've arrived. No, that's just the beginning.
Right.
Now you can really get it going on in your growth, now that you're new creation. And so when we get out of the water, guys, we got to go after letting God and the scriptures continue to change our minds. Right? Repentance, that Greek word, metanoia, mind change. That mind change needs to continue every day after our baptism. Does that make sense, guys?
Right.
So we continue to grow. We continue to grow to be more like Jesus. And here's the biggest thing we got to take from the scripture. Is Paul says that you were created to be like God.
Right.
You guys catch that?
Mm.
Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness.
Wow.
Now, in the Garden of Eden, we kind of wanted to be like God our way by knowing everything. But Jesus says, I'm going to make you like me my way.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And it's going to be a humble life of service.
Yeah.
He flips the script. He says, yeah, in the garden, you did it the wrong way. But I still want you to be like me, but it's going to be a little different. But guys, that's our purpose. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That God wants you to be his image bearer. Mm-hmm. He wants you to show all creation, this is who God is. By the way you live your life, you show the world, this is the God we worship. This is the God who made you, who created you. So if that's your purpose, to be like God, wouldn't it make sense that we would have close relationships that help us fulfill that purpose?
Right.
Why would we have relationships that would not be about that purpose?
Right.
What good is that? To have fun? That's not deep. That's not biblical.
Right.
But your purpose is to be like Jesus, to be like God. And so therefore, he says, you need to put off falsehood. And here's the thing. He says, you need to speak truth. You need to speak truthfully to your neighbor.
Oh,
let me ask you something. Does it feel comfortable when someone speaks truth to you?
No.
Maybe sometimes it does, but most of the time when someone says what you need to hear and not what you want to hear, that's that double-edged sword, right?
Yeah.
But this scripture is saying, put off the old self and speak truth. Speak truthfully. Not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear in order to be like Jesus. In order to become more like him. So let me make something absolutely clear right now. Discipling is not about being controlled or monitored. It's not about like someone just investigating your life, like I'm going to control you. Really, you should be letting Christ control you.
Right.
In the scriptures. But at us, in our relationships, we should be opening up ourselves to say, hey, help me out. Help me see myself better. Help me see my sin better. Yeah. Each of us needs to value deeply someone speaking truth into your life, challenging your thoughts. Jesus more. Does that make sense, guys? We gotta value this. And when you value something, you make time for it.
Yeah.
When you care about something or someone, you make time for it.
Right.
So odds are, if you don't value people speaking, you're not going after it. When we value something, we initiate. We say, hey, Matt, can we get together? Can we get coffee?
Yes.
Can you speak truth into me? You know, we were over at the Nully Diner doing that the other day, speaking truth into one another. Encouraging one another. I needed that time. But guys, do you value that? Is that a priority in your week? Having people speak truth in you? Are you letting people do this? Do you make it hard for people to disciple you? Or do you make it easy for them? We're going to talk about that some more. Do you make it hard for people just to help you fulfill your purpose? Or are you humbling out? Do you go after help? Check these scriptures out. We're going to look at some scriptures right now, back to back, that are going to help us learn why we need to be humble and receive discipling, and also how we can do that. So James chapter 4, they're going to be up on the screen here, but write them down. It says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. So if you're opposing God, that means you're also opposing relationships that are going to help you deal with Jesus. So if I'm going to get time with Rob, and he's trying to help me see something in my character, and I'm kind of not seeing it, or I'm arguing it, being defensive, I'm not just opposing Rob, I'm opposing God. Mm-hmm. I'm opposing God. And so we need to be humble in our relationships. Because when you're being defensive with somebody who's trying to help you, not only you're hurting them, but really you're directly hurting God. You're opposing God.
Right.
And so we got to be humble in our relationships with each other. James chapter 1, 19 to 21. This is a really great scripture. He says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. It doesn't produce your purpose. Therefore, very similar to the verse we read before, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. This is written to disciples. You know, we use this sometime when we're studying with non-Christians. But this is for us, guys.
Yeah.
So how is it going humbly accepting the word of God? How's it going humbly accepting correction? We need to really see what the scripture is saying. And when someone says something to you, are you quick to listen? Really think about that for a second. When someone's trying to correct you, are you quick to listen? Are you quick to talk about it? This right now, right?
Oh no.
And man, I have that moment of D time. I'm like, God, help me right now.
Right.
So, and then it's like they're going to talk about something that really doesn't have even like a lot of weight to it. You know, like they'll be like, there's this blaring character issue, and I've done this before too. And you're trying to help someone see it, and they try to kind of deflect that and be like, actually, I just want to talk about this sister real quick. If I could get your advice about that. It's like, dude, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about your character. Let's help you see this. But are you quick to listen?
What?
Are you quick to listen? We need to be humble. Check out Proverbs chapter 12. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid.
Stupid.
Yeah, the Bible says it. Stupid.
And it's not the message.
And it's not the message version.
No, it's the real deal.
So, but in all seriousness, guys, some of us are being stupid.
Yeah.
And look, I got to fight to not be stupid every day. Because you're opposing to great relationships, you're going to be stuck. You're going to be stuck. And so, guys, it's all about, I think the key word is it's our attitude. Do you have a good attitude?
Yep.
Are you grateful that people are trying to help you be like Jesus?
Yeah.
Or are you kind of not fired up about that? How's your attitude with your relationships going into D time? Really examine that. You know, guys, we gotta strive to have a learner's heart.
Yeah.
To have a learner's heart. We gotta be eager to grow. We gotta be initiators. We can't be waiting. We need to go. That's your responsibility. Grow. And another thing that I think is really important to make clear is it's not just like I have this one 45-minute time in the week or an hour time where I receive discipling and then I go on with my week. Really, one another way is, man, I'm in there with you during the week. You know, I was talking with Alvin and Hugo about this last night, and we were just saying, guys, let's do life together. Let's be in each other. Let's text. Let's call each other. So Tuesday nights when we get time, we're just training each other. It's deep. It's not like catch me up on the last 7 days.
Right.
It's, hey bro, we know how we're doing. You wanna just pray for 30 minutes? You wanna look at some scriptures right now? Does that make sense, guys? So
yeah.
You gotta look at it as it's relationships, and part of that relationship is a weekly time to meet up, which is great. When's the last time you asked someone, how can I be more like Jesus? Mm-hmm. Or you asked someone, what have you seen that I'm not seeing? You should be asking that question right there.
Yeah.
With the people that God's put in your life. How can I be more like Jesus? And if you're studying the Bible and you're learning about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, all of this still applies. And the way that you're really going to become a disciple is humbly accepting the Word of God, is asking those people who are studying the Bible with you, hey, what do you see in me? Right? How can I be more like Jesus? I wish I did that more when I was 14 years old studying the Bible. Probably would have gone way better and would have saved me a lot of trouble. But so wherever you're at in your journey, we got to be asking that question. Amen, guys?
Amen.
And honestly, just to be really honest, like, I just love that. Like, I love that as every week goes by, I can be less like sinful Mark and more like Jesus.
Yeah.
Like that by 2020, I'm going to be more like Jesus. And that people will see that. And as God gets all the glory. But guys, we got to see, it's a gift. We don't have to change. We get to change, right? We get to flourish. We get to grow. We get to blow people's minds by the way we change.
Yes.
Don't you want to do that?
Yes.
Don't you want people to see you and just be like, how did you change that much in 2 months?
Yeah.
How did that happen? But we got to be intentional about that.
Yeah.
We're not doing the world a favor at all when we don't grow. You're doing no one a favor. In fact, you're just hurting the world. When you're not going after discipling, you're hurting the church and you're hurting the world. You're hurting Christ's body. But you do the world a favor when you become more like Jesus. The best thing you can do for this world is say, I want to be like Jesus. Amen? But are you intentionally going after that? Is that your priority? You know, some of us in here really do need to have a mind change and repent. And we need to see our desperate need for discipling. And if you feel like you don't know where you're at with that, probably get to have a conversation about that with somebody.
Yeah.
Of, hey, bro, how do you think this is going with me? And you know, since becoming a Christian in 2010, I've had a good amount of close friends, close brothers of mine decide to leave God.
And I will tell you straight up right now, the number one reason why they've left God is because they didn't have close spiritual brothers in their life. And they didn't go after discipling. Some of these guys were leaders for a time. Some of these guys I thought would be my campus ministers. But because they didn't fight for close relationships, they are so lost right now. And most of them in worse places than they were in team ministry. I just say that to be real with you guys. I love you guys. I want to see you guys make it to heaven. But if you don't prioritize these godly relationships, we're not going to grow. And you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. And so we want to help each other receive the crown. Amen?
Yeah.
We want to help each other finish the race.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. We'll talk about that more in a bit. But guys, the one another way is a gift. But are you grateful? And just to kind of summarize this point, when the relationships aren't there, the growth won't be there either. When the relationships aren't there, the growth won't be there either. I wanna let you guys in on my family of relationships right here. So I'm gonna keep this brief here, but so when I was first studying the Bible, this guy right here, David Curtis, studied the Bible with me. Ross Lippincott, and these guys discipled me. They were involved in my life as a really terrible teenager, not knowing what I was doing, but they helped me to be more like Jesus, right? And then, and obviously, okay, these are my amazing parents. They discipled me since I was, you know, out of the womb. But no, for real, those are my, like, primary, like, people involved in my life, right? As I was a kid growing up, they're helping me be more like Jesus. I love my mom and dad. And so I graduated high school. Oh, Tom Hughes also in high school discipled me. He was a big help, a huge help. He helped me see a lot of pride in my life in high school. And then, okay, so that's kind of team ministry. And then transitioning into college, obviously getting really close with Rob, going into
Christian
Patterson. Rob has been discipling me for the past really over 5 years now.
Wow.
And I'm so grateful for our relationship. And oh my goodness, like I would totally not be where I am without him.
Love you, man.
But also, along with that, with Matt. You know, we grew up together. We went through team ministry together. These guys rebuked Matt and I a lot. It was awesome. But, you know, Matt and I, his relationship, we're best friends, but he also disciples me, and I disciple him. We help each other.
Amen.
And then I spent, like, 3 summers at Camp Hope for Kids. These guys discipled me through my years of college every summer. So Gabe Santos, who's a teacher in the church. Alex Hernandez, who led the church in Fiji and then moved with his family. And I learned so much from him and his wife. And then Noah Mata, who's amazing. And this is just like, I was just thinking about it, like, man, I've had so many people invest in me. And I, as I'm just so grateful. Like, I'm just so grateful for all those people. And I keep going back to those people. You know, I just had a life coaching session with Dave Mitchell in the bottom right corner there. And he helped me work through stuff, you know. And we don't talk a lot, but Dave's kind of like another father figure to me.
Yep.
Or I feel like I can go to him and just get that help. And so I just kind of put that up on the screen to say, who are those people for you?
Yeah.
You know, when you're 10 years old or 9 years old as a Christian, who are the people going to be up on the screen for you? And are you going to have more than just one or two people? And so I'm just so grateful that God's blessed me with these friendships, with these relationships. Amen?
Amen.
And so check out this scripture, Luke chapter 6. We're coming in for a landing here. We're going to close out our time. You guys still with me? We're talking more specifically about coming to maturity, okay? Maturity, and how discipling and receiving discipling can help us with that. Luke 6:40. The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Okay, so what's that saying? It's saying if you're really fully trained, if you've been going after training, letting people into your life, guess what's going to happen? You're going to become like the person who's discipling you. That's what should happen, right?
Right.
And so my goal throughout college is I want to become like Rob. I want to be able to do what Rob's doing. And if that's not happening,
then I'm not getting trained, and I'm really not fulfilling my purpose, right? And in team ministry, I want to be more like Damon and Ross. Those were the guys I looked up to, right? Yeah. So we're constantly being called higher. Hebrews 5, verse 12 to 14. It says, in fact, and really pay attention to this, guys. It says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use good from way ahead of where you are right now in your discipleship. You should be a teacher. You should be teaching people how to be disciples. But you're still trying to have your quiet times. And God just breaks his heart. He's like, I want to use you. And you're still going to milk and not solid food. And so, guys, God wants you to go on to maturity. He wants you to have a game plan. He wants you to really go after discipling and the things you battle with. He's just calling out the disciples here and say, he literally tells them, like, you should be teachers by now, but you're not. And you still got to be taught these kind of baby things. There's no such thing as a 4-year-old infant. Right? And I'm kind of a little better, but I still don't know how to help someone become a disciple, even though when I studied the Bible, that was like the number one thing. Do we make disciples? We just gotta see that in us. It can't be this ministry. We gotta set the example, amen. And a lot of you guys, amen, you guys are going after that. And that's why we're growing as a family. But we gotta be intentional about maturing. Amen, guys?
Amen.
And so I just wanna ask you that. Are you maturing? Are you maturing? How different are you this time? Right now, than you were at this time last year. How different are you in being more like Jesus? Even just 2 months ago today, how different are you right now than you were 2 months ago? You know, that's a challenging question. So I just want to give you guys some tools of how you can mature. Proverbs 15:22, it says, plants fail for a lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Guys, we gotta seek advice. Like, that should be every week. You are getting advice. But not just from one person, many advisors. Letting lots of people into your life. And so, guys, we're a young ministry. We're new to this. And so just let it be said that should be normal. That should be consistent. Is that, man, we're just constantly getting advice from one another. We're just saying, hey, can I get your advice about this? Can I get your advice about that? I need help.
Yeah.
Right? We need to seek many advisors. That'll help you mature. Another thing, Proverbs 3:5 says, lean not on your own understanding. Don't seek advice just trying to affirm what you already kind of want to do in your own head, right? And this is, guys, to be vulnerable, this is something that I'm so bad at this. I'm as a philosophy major, and I fight every day to not lean on my own understanding. But guys, I just want to be like Jesus. I don't want my pride to get in the way of me becoming like Christ. But are you leaning on your own understanding too much? Do you spend more time thinking by yourself than you do reading scripture and getting advice? If you're thinking to yourself and not being vulnerable, you're leaning on your own understanding. And if you're doing that, you're not going to mature. Amen? And we're just not meant to stay, you know, Marty shared this at the men's lesson this past weekend. He's like, some of you guys are still in spiritual puberty, man.
Oh, yeah.
Spiritual puberty. And the whole room was like, dang, man.
And so we're meant to go on to maturity, right?
Yes,
sir. Meant to move on, right? Get out of the middle school phase, you know, of puberty and the awkwardness. Get out of that phase of your discipleship and go and mature. And as we come in for a landing here, and we're going to break up into some D groups. Lastly, guys, that like I was saying before, the goal is we want to make it to heaven. We want to be with Jesus for all eternity. And we will not finish the race if we don't go after receiving discipling. You're not going to meet Jesus. You're not going to meet Jesus if you don't let people in your life here and now. So we got to go deep. We got to have fun. We got to make memories together. We got to go on spiritual adventures together. But we got to bring people along with us and say, hey, help me do this. Help me make it to heaven. Bro, sis, let's do this together. Let's make it. Let's meet the King together. Amen. And guys, Jesus just knew that he had to help his disciples get this. Before he left, he kept teaching them. Here's a new command I give you. Love each other as I loved you. You guys getting that? The last time he talks to Peter, no, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you get this? You got to love God's people. Or else we're not going to make it home. And don't you just want to be with Jesus forever? Don't you just want to spend eternity with Jesus? The goal is to make it to heaven. And, you know, it was a really powerful moment in being with Kyrie and being there in the room and watching his mom pass on. And just kind of knowing that because Kyrie went after discipling, that he saved his mom's soul. You know? And just a really practical application that Kyrie... I remember rooming with him at the brother's house, and one day he was like, I'm going to save my mom. I'm going to get help so I can save my mom. And today's her birthday. This time last year, we were going to the hospital to baptize her.
Yep.
And yesterday, crazy. She finished the race, guys. She finished. But in a very real way, if Kyrie didn't say, I'm going to get training to help my mom, which is, it's hard to help your family become Christians, especially with your mom being in the hospital. And he said, I'm going to get sisters involved. I'm going to bring them there. They're going to study the Bible with my mom. And the hospital's like, whoa, I don't know if we should baptize her. We baptized her. Kyrie just said, I'm going to save my mom. And I'm going to get training on how to do that. I'm going to seek advice. Yeah. And so, guys, when you say, I'm going to go after discipling, that directly saves souls.
Yeah.
That directly saves souls. And how much better of a moment is that for Kyrie than if he never helped his mom?
Right.
Right? And so I just want to kind of encourage you guys with that and just lift up Kyrie and keep praying for him, keep praying for his family. But, man, that's inspiring, is it not?
Yeah.
That he said, I'm going to go after this. And so, guys, let's just decide tonight that we're just going to let people in our life. We're going to go after receiving discipling because we want to make it to heaven. Amen. And we want to bring more and more people with us. And we just want to bring heaven here. We just want to start letting God reign in our lives now and just make it home to be with him. Amen? And so just kind of summarizing what we talked about, guys, let's be humble. Let's have good attitudes towards one another. Let's ask each other good questions like, what do you see in me? How can I be more like Jesus? And if you're studying the Bible, talk to the person who's studying the Bible with you saying, how can I be easier for you to study the Bible with me, right? And so what we're going to do now, we're going to close out in prayer, and then we're going to take about 10 minutes to get with those who are studying the Bible with you, or someone who brought you out, or to get with your D group, or those who disciple you. And here's the question we're all going to ask one another. You guys ready for this? How can I make it easier for you to disciple me? That's what you're going to ask. And you're going to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Amen? So, guys, I love you. Let's close out in prayer. I hope this was helpful. And amen. Amen. So, we're going to pray together, and then please, let's split right away, okay? And we're going to go after it. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Father God,